Today is the final Sunday of James, which is a little bit sad. We've been doing it all summer. And it's also, as I said, the seven-year anniversary. 7 years ago, we started off this community, this faith thing, with a prayer or meditative Sunday where we had some stations and people just kind of walked around and prayed. I remember Len was there. How many of you were here, actually, 7 years ago on the prayer meditation Sunday? Yeah, not many. Hardcore supporters, thank you. No, it was a really cool Sunday. So this morning, I hope as we end James and kind of remember this meditation prayer, we can merge those two into kind of an interesting Sunday. Some of you have been around for 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. I think during that, I did this kind of fake interview with Samuel because it just seemed to work. So I think I've only done it once. Twice isn't going to be overdoing it, but I was reading this James passage, and it just made sense to have a little conversation with James, an interview, if you will, or just a conversation. So I'm going to replay that conversation this morning with you. It's not going to be too cheesy or corny, but we'll just walk through it. This is the last section in James 5, if you want to read along. If you don't, pretend James is sitting. Let's make it more real. He's on this stool right here. I mean, we want to make him comfortable. Jeez, he is 2,000 years old or something. He's right here. Hey, James, how you doing this morning? Great. Good to have you here. Okay, so James, what have you got for us? Is anyone among you in trouble? This is James. Is anyone among you in trouble? Okay, well, I mean, interesting question. Who is among you? Are you talking just to the group here? Are you talking to the group you were talking to 2,000 years ago? Are you talking to humanity? Because I assume you know what's going on in the world, and this is kind of a rhetorical, almost condescending question, to be honest. Is there trouble? Well, there's war, there's terrorism, there's starvation, there's famine, there's genocide, there's slavery, there's racism, xenophobia. I mean, do I need to keep going? That's just the world. Of course, here in our own country, there's some pretty wild racism that's coming to the surface in Charlottesville and other events. We have a city that's basically underwater, and a tragic event for many. Some have died. Are you talking about just in this room? Because I talk to people here who are going through all kinds of terrible events, divorce, affairs, sickness, or just having a bad day, honestly. I'm sorry, I'm just not sure what you're going at here. Is anyone in trouble? Yes. Yes, definitely. Okay, so do you have something cool to say? Let them pray. Okay, well, honestly, I'm a little disappointed in that answer. I mean, that's what you have to say. Let them pray. Okay, I mean, that's great, but it seems like talking about some big things here. Let them pray. Yeah, what kind of prayer are you talking about? What is prayer? I mean, I really do like you, James. I like what we've been talking about. I think people are digging it. I'm digging it. But this just seems like, let them pray? I mean, you do know people were praying that the flooding didn't get too bad in Houston, right? You do know a lot of people were praying that. And you do know it's the worst flood we've ever had in the continental United States, right? So I'm just going to say, when you say, is there trouble, and we say, let them pray, that doesn't really do much for me. So, I mean, have you got anything else? I mean, can you even define a little bit more? We're going to go on to the next question, that's fine. Is anyone happy? I mean, again, in the world, here, I would assume we're happy. Some people are happy. It's hard to know if we're just, you know, riding the current high of whatever. So sometimes it's hard to equate that, or we do equate that with happiness. I don't know if you're talking about, is anyone happy? Does anyone have pure joy, real joy? Again, I don't know. Yeah, James, yes, people are happy. Sure. Okay, what? Okay. Let them sing songs of praise. Well, great, thanks. That's great, James. So, hey, are any of you happy? Awesome. Sing some songs of praise. We just did. Great. Is that the thing? I mean, and again, are you talking about, like, do we need to sing hymns? Can we sing Coldplay? Can we sing M83? Can we sing Chainsmokers? I mean, I don't know. Like, what's a song of praise? Because I'm happy. I do sing. I mean, I get that. That's nice. But is that a song of praise? I don't. Do you have any more here for me? Is it okay? Okay, we're just going to keep asking questions. Great. Is any among you sick? Now, I, for one, would have thought this would have been covered under trouble, but let's just flow along with what you're doing here. Is anyone sick? Probably. Again, here in this room, in our community of people we know, in our town, in our world, yes, we have cancer, and we have a stuffy nose this morning, and everything in between. Yes, we're sick. Some of us are sick. Also, are you talking about like physical sick, mental sick? Where are we at here? Okay, what do we got here? Okay, Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. James, here's the deal. I seriously like you. But there's something about this that... Oh yeah, that's right. It's total crap. This isn't true. I'm sorry. We had a friend who was sick last summer, and the elders of the church went to his house, stage 4 cancer, poured oil on his head, asking for healing, and guess what? He died. So therefore, I don't believe you. And also, I'll just add, there are about 7.5 billion people on the planet. The one guarantee for all of those people is that they will die. Now, many of them will die from what we call being sick. So at some point, let's go with half. 3 billion people will die from being sick. Are you saying that if the elders of the church came and asked for prayer and put oil on their head, that they would not die? I don't think so. Can you at least put some asterisks on this verse or something? I mean, seriously, this is why people read the Bible and don't like it, or I don't, because this is not true. If someone is sick and you send the elders and you put oil on their head, they might not be made well, and the Lord might not raise them up. Am I right? I mean, I feel like I'm right, okay? Is this sticking with you? Okay. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Okay. A couple of things. If they have sinned, well, I don't understand. I thought we were all sinners. So are we talking about a particular kind of sin? Are we talking about the sick person sinning? And are you saying that if someone is sick and the elders go to their house and put oil on their head and ask them to heal them, they'll of course be healed and raised up, and they will be forgiven? Is that just kind of like a bonus in the healing package, that you just get your sins forgiven also? Or are they supposed to talk about that? Are they supposed to ask for it? I mean, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I do know the story of the friends who lowered their friend through the roof, and Jesus healed him, and then Jesus said, "Your sins are also forgiven," and they didn't really seem to ask for forgiveness, so I guess it kind of makes some sense, but I'm honestly super confused on this one. Do you have anything? Okay, We're just going to keep going here. Great. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay, James, I mean, I am with you. I think confession is huge. I think it's beautiful. I think it gives life. It's this weight we're carrying around, and it's so amazing and freeing to just confess to someone and let that thing go. But I'm a little bit, again, confused. They'll be healed. Are you talking about the sick people again? Because again, that's not always true. And also, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Does that mean the prayer of a unrighteous person is weak and ineffective? Because you realize what you're doing here, right? If my prayer is weak and ineffective, therefore I'm going to assume I'm not righteous, because you said the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I don't know how that worked 2,000 years ago, but in 2017, that's a dangerous road to go on. Because I see a lot of people who their prayer is weak and ineffective, and therefore they think they're not righteous or they're not doing something right, because you said if we just go with the elders and put some oil on their head, they're going to be raised up and everything's going to be fine. What? Anything? Okay. Oh, we're going to talk to him about Elijah now. Cool. Okay. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. I got to say, I love that. Something so cool about just saying human being in the truest sense of the word. Humans, image bearers of the divine. Elijah, this kind of hero, right? I mean, I'm with you. He was just a human like we are. I love that. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Got to tell you, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Love it. We've talked about it here before. Elijah, drought, famine, has the big calling down fire, burning up, you know, the contest of the gods. Fire comes down. He says, I hear the sound of rain. Rain comes, and he runs all over, and God whispers. Elijah finds out that God is in the whisper, not in all the fire and the hurricanes and the noise. I love that story. But the thing is, you say he prayed earnestly for a famine and a rain, and I couldn't remember that part of the story. I was going to remember it. So I went back and looked. Sure enough, in the little title before the story, it says, Elijah prays for rain. And I thought, oh, I guess I was wrong. I guess Elijah did pray for rain. But then I went and read the story. Do you mind if I read it to you? I just confused here. Okay, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there's the sound of heavy rain. Also, one of the best lines ever. It'd be such a good movie line. After the fire comes down, consumes it, he's just one. He's like, there's the sound of heavy rain. Whew. Winner, okay? But then it says Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Okay. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. 7 times, Elijah said, go back. The 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now, I gotta say, it doesn't say Elijah prayed for rain. And in fact, it doesn't say, because I went and looked at this one too, that Elijah prayed for a famine. You say he prayed earnestly. It doesn't even say he prayed for rain, either of them. In fact, God said, I'm going to bring a drought and famine. And then God said, I'm going to bring rain. That's the story, James. You're already kind of manipulating it here a little bit. Because it says, he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. We'll give you it was prayer of some kind. But honestly, it could have been, oh crap. I just said I heard rain and kind of went out on a limb here, so God, don't kill me. Or don't let me die. Or please let there be rain, because you said there was going to. But I mean, this is all, we're just reading into this. So you're saying he prayed earnestly for rain, and I'm saying it doesn't say it in the story. And this is kind of my complaint with sometimes the Bible. You go back to these old stories, and maybe we don't have the right translation or the interpretation, or I don't know what, but you kind of put in some things that aren't there. And so then it makes us, when we go read it, feel even more we're just humans like Elijah, and now we can't even heal our friend with a cold when we put oil on their head, and Elijah was bringing down rain because he prayed earnestly, so I must not be praying earnestly enough. And you get it, right? So honestly, I'm a little frustrated. At this point, Jesus showed up. He walks in. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. And I said, oh, yeah, you guys are brothers. That's cool. Okay. Jesus said, hey, James, you mind if I take take over here a little bit. James like, no, that's cool, man, whatever. Ryan, what's up? Hey, Jesus, how you doing, bro? I mean, Jesus. Jesus said, hey, do you mind if I kind of help you out here a little bit? No, that's cool, man. At this point, I'd love it. Please. So Jesus said, Ryan, remember those Athenite monks? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Read a book about them. They pray constantly. One of them can't understand how anyone can live without praying. Just prays 24/7. I mean, and they had some crazy stories in that. Yeah, I remember it. Well, maybe you should read a line from that book, Ryan. Read it to everyone here. Okay, great. Yeah, what do we got? Huh. When human beings completely obliterate their own egotism and reach the state of theosis, or union with God, Father Maximus explained to me as we reach Elder Passios's gate, then whatever they wish is what God wishes, and it is given. Okay. I hear you, Jesus. So prayer isn't just necessarily like some magical words here and there. It's kind of this practice, this exercise, this work, getting to a state where we completely obliterate our own egotism. Yeah, okay. Ryan, do you remember when you were driving home from Penticton this summer? I do, as a matter of fact. Remember you stopped by the Colville Indian tribe? And they were having a powwow. Yeah, I do. It was amazing. Remember when they prayed to their creator, to the creator? Yeah, I do. I even have a recording of it. You do? Great. Well, why don't you play that for everyone? Okay, great. I will. So here's a little Colville prayer. Man, when you were there, if you were there like I was, chills. Everyone was doing this. Old, young, in their full native garb, handcrafted, hand-sewn, marching. The elder had prayed before this happened. It's a beautiful prayer to the Creator, giving wisdom to the young ones of how we interact with the Creator. And then this whole place began to chant this prayer. Okay, Jesus, yeah, I get it. Okay, I mean, maybe. So maybe we just, I kind of go to prayer and have some wrong views of it. And Jesus said, hey, have you watched CNN lately? Yes, I have. Have you seen any videos? Yes. Why don't you show one? Which one? Well, that one that really moved you. Oh, okay, that one. Great. I'll do that. Human chain forms to rescue elderly man in Houston. Here we go. Man, suddenly all the racism, all the xenophobia, all the sentiment of hate just kind of melts. Okay, Jesus, yeah, I'm hearing you. Yeah, Ryan, the thing is, prayer is an exercise. It is a practice, and it affects everything when you really work on it, and when it becomes this thing that's everywhere because you are human and you're made in the image of the divine, it starts to affect how you relate to people and how you relate to yourself, and it goes into everything that you do. And James said, yeah, duh, that's what I was saying. And then Jesus said, listen, James, they've really screwed this thing up in 2017 in America. You have to have them a little grace for them. And then I said, hey, Jesus, can I quote you on that? And then Jesus said, Ryan, this is all on your own head anyway, so no. And I said, okay, right. But then Jesus said, then you start to move into compassion and mercy and forgiveness in how you see the world and see others. Like Ryan, Heather Hare, she was the one who died in Charlottesville. And I don't know if any of you have seen what her father had to say, either in interviews or at her funeral, but I have a little portion of the funeral here because it's beautiful and I wanted to play it for you. In another interview, he said the day after she died, I forgive the man who killed her. He didn't know what he was doing. He's a young kid. He doesn't know what he's doing. Just like Jesus on the cross said, they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Whoa, the day after? Around the same time, there was a terrorist attack in Barcelona. And one of the victims was a 3-year-old, the youngest victim. And the father of that three-year-old said it was really important to him that he go to a mosque and hug an imam, because he said, I want everyone to know that this is not representative of Islam, and I don't want any Muslims to feel like they don't belong in this country in the same way I do. And here's a video of that. And my wife found this video of a man, a judge in Minnesota, who lost his wife, and he was lonely, and so he did something really exciting and fun. And this story is a couple minutes, but I think it's worth watching, so here's this story. So basically, I bawled all week watching these videos. I don't have any more tears now, so I'm not crying. I'm not cold. Every one of these videos moved me to tears. And I think Jesus was saying to me, Ryan, the things that are moving you to tears in these videos are exactly what I've always been talking about and what James is talking about. You don't need to over-spiritualize this thing. Elijah was a human like you. And this prayer is not just getting on my knees, dear God. And being well is not just necessarily being healed from an illness. And when you start to pray and walk with God and the ego fades, then amazing things start to happen like this. Things that move you and move people and change the world and make us all more aware of the God that's in it. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I've always been talking about. I was with a friend who's been working with at-risk youth in Oregon in the woods. These kids have had rough lives, and it's not going well, and so they spend 2 weeks out in the wilderness. And I said to him, what have you seen? He said, I've seen people change in 2 weeks. I can't even believe it. And I said, well, what's the one thing that changes them, if you had one overarching theme? And he said, being with them in their humanity. Teaching them how to be human and being a human with them. And I think this over-spiritualization thing that we can do is what often hides the divine more than anything. And even in a reading at James, I start to over-spiritual. Oh, well, James, what? No, I'm just saying this. So we're going to end with some prayer. And I have three quotes up here. We have communion in the back. All of these are forms of prayer. Even walking around and hugging someone is a form of prayer. Even being in this room with people is a form of prayer. And I'd encourage you to pray, to exercise, to practice, to think about what you saw, to think about what you've heard, to think about the people in your life, to think about how you see God and you and your relationship. To think about, as James always talked about, action, doing, being, not just saying and believing. And we're going to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and do what you need to do. Read the quotes, think about them, pray, close your eyes, meditate, be aware of God in this room amongst us, take communion, and be with God and pray. God, thanks for this time. Thank you for prayer in all of its forms. Help our lives to be a prayer today and this week. Help us to be compassionate, merciful, forgiving, loving, caring human beings. Help us to be moved and to move. Help us to understand your love and compassion and care and mercy and grace for us and humanity. We love you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Feel free to hang around, say hi to someone. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Go in grace and peace.